Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show brought to you by Twine Group Media and Dog Works Training Centers. My name is Robert Forto and I am hosting from Willow, Alaska. And on the line we have our co-host, Michelle. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you just fine. So today we're doing a test show that we hope to air on Sunday, October 10th. If we don't have any technical difficulties, so we're just going to run with it. Michelle, what is going on at Denver Dog Works?
Well, as I was trying to mention while we were on Skype, that Denver Dog Works is in full swing of our fall special, where we offer clients the opportunity to try us out, take four classes privately, and then get into our group class for four sessions, and really just see what they'd like to do with their dog. Some people just need a refresher. Other people would like to try some off-leash work, and it's a great opportunity to get out there and work with your dog while it gets cooler outside.
And that's a special that we run every year at Denver Dog Works, and it seems to work out just fine for people that just need that little bit of push to get into that holiday season.
That's right. You know, and it's a good way to work out with your dog. Get yourself up off of that couch, get your dog up off of that dog bed, and get out there and lose a little bit of weight before Thanksgiving.
There you go. So how is the weather in Denver there, middle October here?
It is 80 degrees today, but it does feel much warmer than that. There's a low breeze. We finally had some rain last night, and we haven't had much all fall, actually, let alone the summer. We've had an unseasonably warm fall season this year.
So it's been about 3 months since you've been on the air, and people have been asking about you on our web pages and things like that. So let's start off like you're brand new to the show. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am your number one fan, your biggest groupie, and the co-host of the Dog Doctor Radio Show, as well as your business partner and wife. Pretty much holding down the fort here in Denver, keeping our business going while you are building an expansion of Dog Works Training Centers in Alaska.
We're going to get to that in just a second, our brand new venture, Alaska Dog Works, but we're going to talk about that in a sec. But what else is going on down there at Denver Dog Works? I understand that we have a new partner.
We do have a new partner. I'm working on getting him to update his bio and photograph so that you can get it on the website, as well as having him on again as a guest of the Dog Doctor Radio Show so that he can expose himself and what his plans and goals are and what type of trainer he is. It is our son, Kyle Forto. He has been a trainer or involved in dog training since he was 8 years old with us. He has been a certified trainer for 2 years, and he is looking forward to taking over the business here in Denver so that I can move on to Alaska. But at the same time, he's 18, and it's a little bit scary out there right now being your own boss.
So is he doing well at Denver Dog Works?
You know, and I'm not saying this as his mom. I'm really saying this as his manager. He is doing well. He's having trouble as far as what it takes to, well, make a sale. You know, making a sale and initially speaking to someone is difficult. And then there's a few places and classes where I've given him that are a little above and beyond his experience, and he just forgets to have fun with the client. He is a little bit nervous, and he doesn't know how to just let his guard down and turn it into a good time, and that's what he's really learning from me this time around. It's not about the basics. It's not about making sure the dogs are well taken care of under the Camp Works program. It's now about making sure that the client is well taken care of. And for Kyle, that's a whole new ballgame because that's something you and I usually just went ahead and did ourselves.
You know, one of the things that we teach in our canine obedience instructors course is that this being a dog trainer and opening up a business is not just being a dog trainer. It's also understanding how to run a business, and that includes customer service, negotiation, sales tactics, marketing, advertising, the whole ball of wax.
That's right. And, you know, if you're not able to sell your product, you sure as heck can't sell your service. And if you can't sell your service or your product, you can't sell yourself, and you have not no business being out there trying to sell dog training. You've always told people that anybody can show up with a smile and a Vista.com business card, and they're in business. But they might not be tomorrow. That's the hardest thing I've got to teach, Kyle.
That is right. So I know a lot of people have been following us on our blogs and on Twitter and Facebook, and you can do so just by searching Denver Dog Works on Google or Yahoo. But one of our most popular topics lately is your service dogs, in particular Alaric and Toby. Can you give us an update?
Oh, my goodness. I am so in trouble with you because I have been way behind in my blog writing. That is because you are not here kicking my butt every day saying I need an article. You know, with me, I get a lot of things going, and I get preoccupied with I'd rather sit down and train the dog or talk to the client than write a story about it. So I'm not real good about keeping up my blog writing, but Toby and Alaric are doing exceptionally well. If you are a friend of mine on Facebook, you will see a photograph that I took today in a park of them both. Not a prelude to the show, just because it was a nice, beautiful day, and both dogs were doing exceptionally well. Toby is 8 months old. He's been in training with us since he was 12 weeks of age. He is a psychiatric service dog. He is doing awesome with Shauna. He lives with her full-time now and comes back for his public access training. Alaric is a puppy that we bred. He is 2 years old. He has gone from a puppy raiser back to us to a home that we thought he would be placed with for agoraphobia, and it just didn't work out. And after talking with her doctor and things, we pulled him out of the program and out of the home. He is now with a new lady named Leia, and Leia is wanting to get back her life and put herself back together. She's also got Alaric for psychiatric issues, and he is doing exceptionally well with her. He is not living with her full-time yet, as we are still in the transition stages and taking it very slow. And that's how it works with psychiatric service dogs. By no means is it a conventional service dog placement. I don't train the dog up for 2 years, take him to your home, and do 3 weeks with you training, and that's it. This is the dog you're stuck with, whether you like it or not, whether he likes you or not. With psychiatric service dogs at Denver Dog Works, I do work in a completely different way. It's very unconventional. It's very unorthodox. I would like you to bond with your dog throughout the training. Toby went home to Shauna at 6 months of age and has been doing great, and she is bonding with him and learning his quirks and going through some of his puppy training, but it's making her stronger and more able to handle her environment. Leia is getting an older dog because of her situation. Everyone's situation is different, and we take pride in taking that into consideration here, and I really truly build a psychiatric service dog program around each and every individual. There is no cookie-cutter packaging done as far as psychiatric service dogs are concerned here.
And, you know, I know the ADA is getting ready to change their rules in regards to service animals. In March, I believe, it goes into effect. And what it says in a nutshell is the only animals that can be allowed as service animals are going to be dogs.
That's right. And you know what? I know that we posted that on Facebook, and I think that you wrote a blog about it as well. And we got a little bit of slack on the comments. I don't think people really understood what it's saying. It actually is framing psychiatric service dogs and service animals in a way that has never been undertaken before, and it makes my job easier. We've had a lot of people abusing post-traumatic stress disorder as a reason to carry their purse dog around in the grocery store, and that simply just is not acceptable. And I am appalled at people for taking advantage of something as traumatic as PTSD and making it just this candy store type of ailment. And, you know, well, this is what I have, so I can have my dog with me. These people suffer every single day. They are embarrassed. They do not want to have these issues. They do not want to have the stigmatism of being disabled. And, you know, I am really glad that the ADA finally stepped up and has identified, and not identified in such a way that we can't have a little bit of leeway here and there, but they've given it a definition in a way that has never been given before, so that now we don't have, you know, the monkeys, the ferrets, the miniature horses, the potbelly pigs, the birds, and the cats, and all these other animals that don't meet the intelligence requirements to become working service animals. You know, dogs have been doing this for well over 300 years as service animals to human beings, and I won't even go into the fact of how long we've had dogs in companionship.
So with that, just a little bit of a parallel, there is, I believe he's an attorney in Denver that is trying to push through the city council to allow pit bulls as post-traumatic stress dogs. What do you think of that?
You know, I really don't care what the breed is. I just really want people to understand that the criteria for having a service dog is a thin line. You really need to be under the care of a doctor. If you have a service dog, you should be under the care of a doctor as well as the care of a qualified service dog trainer. And if you're doing that, then I really don't care. But the issue with using a pit bull, though, especially here in Denver, is the stigmatism that is attached to pit bulls. And that is that simply they are not bred for service, and they're not. I would lean more towards dogs that have proven bloodlines in service work of some capacity, whether it be seeing eye dogs, hearing dogs, seizure alert dogs. Psychiatric service dogs are fairly new, so the proven bloodlines are really rare. Mobility service dogs, bracing dogs, all of these dogs need to have proven bloodlines. The same as you wouldn't take a pit bull and ask him to become a police dog simply because he doesn't have the ability in the bloodlines to prove that he can do the job. They're too unpredictable.
And with that, we're going to talk about that just in a second when we talk about my mushing adventures up here in Alaska and what I am finding out about the Alaskan Husky. So don't let me forget to talk about that here in just a second. Before we do, I want to make sure everybody knows who they're listening to. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show brought to you by Twine Group Media and Dog Works Training Centers. This is Robert Forto, and I'm hosting from Willow, Alaska. And we have Michelle Forto, our co-host. She is back. It's been about 3 months, and she's been on the air. And we finally figured out all of the technical difficulties to make this show work 3,200 miles away, and it seems to be going on without a hitch right now. But if you do have any comments or concerns, make sure you drop us a line. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and you can also send us email at live@dogdoctorradio.com. Michelle, again, what's going on in Denver in regards to your Camp Works program?
My Camp Works program has probably taken off and become the most successful program that you and I have ever put our two heads together to make happen. You know, you never did like doing board and trains. You hated it for years, and we came to Denver, and, you know, it's just very popular here, and people enjoy doing it. So we put together Camp Works, and it's a spinoff from the Camp Snoopy that used to be in the Mall of America. That's really where I kind of stole this whole Camp Works idea from. I really wanted people to think of their dog as not necessarily coming to boot camp, but summer camp. I don't make it such a strict environment that the dogs aren't having fun. The dogs really are a part of my family when they're here. I just sent home one of my favorite buddies in the whole wide world. I will never forget this guy. I told his owner, if he ever cannot keep the dog, I fully expect a phone call. Lennox has been one of the best dogs we've ever had. He ended up staying with us for 16 weeks, which essentially is the Camp Works 3, which is a 12-week program. And you know, he didn't need 12 weeks of obedience. We didn't train him for obedience. He was here because it was reported that he had some aggression issues that we discovered very quickly that he does not have aggression. He is a high-drive Belgian Malinois that was never given a job, mostly because his owner had to go to Afghanistan for a civil work job with the military, and he was not able to come back and forth as often as he had expected. In fact, the 12 weeks ended up being 16 because of that very reason. And, you know, I just got to say, your dog is well taken care of. His owner said, my God, you put at least 5 pounds of weight on my dog. I said, well, you know, he was loved, and that's more important to me than anything else. Lennox learned a couple of things. He learned about tracking. He didn't like it. He learned about search and rescue. He loved the search and rescue games that we played with him, which is a little spinoff from something that you told me you did way back in the early 90s when you had your search and rescue business. We played games of hide and seek with Lennox where literally our son Kyle would take Lennox down to the park, and I would be down at the park, and then I would come all the way back down to the training center, and I would hide somewhere. And he would let that dog go, and that dog wouldn't go 10 feet in front of Kyle off-leash, and he would find me every single time. So, you know, we make camp work a lot of fun. By all means, there is obedience involved, but for the most part, it really comes down to what I can get the dog to see as its best potential.
That's exactly right. And if you want to find out more information about our Camp Works programs, you can find it at DenverDogWorks.com and our brand new AlaskaDogWorks.com. Michelle, what's going on with Alaska Dog Works?
Well, you know, that's kind of your baby, so I'm not really sure. I haven't been able to put my 2 cents or my foot in it yet. But I'm sure that when I get up there, you know, I'm usually the one that you leave to clean up the mess, and whatever you've left loose ends, I'll be fixing them and tying them up nice and tight. I'm hoping that we're able to really seriously expand on my service dog program. It is something that I am truly passionate about. It's why I left my job at a nice law firm and had a good paycheck as a legal assistant, and I left because of the fact that I really enjoyed working with the psychiatric service dogs and the clients. I really see myself giving back to the community in that realm, and that's what I'm hoping to continue. As far as Camp Works goes, I would love to say that Alaska has the number one location for Camp Works for dogs in the world. I'm just not sure if that's something that we really want to get into. You know, I hope that Alaska Dog Works opens up people's minds. In Alaska, they're not really into dog training like they are in Denver. I know that you've had a few behavioral clients, and they're just not serious. They do one or two classes with you, and they're like, a dog is a dog. And for the most part, that's true, but they're a little bit behind in their thinking as far as popular culture goes. And dogs aren't just considered dogs anymore. Dogs, especially down here in the States, especially in Denver, dogs are part of the family. And until we start recognizing that, we're not going to be putting out quality dogs, and we're not going to be putting out quality companions.
That's exactly right. And just a little bit more information about Alaska Dog Works. Of course, being in the business for almost 20 years now, we have taken everything that we worked very hard on in Denver, and we're opening up just a very small portion of it here in Alaska, and we have the ability to do board and trains right out of our home. We have a modified sled dog kennel here in Willow, so we have the ability to do world-class dog training right here in our backyard, and I look very forward to meeting the dog owners here in Alaska, and once we get it taken off, I am sure we will be just as busy up here as we are down in Denver.
Well, you know what? Next summer when I get there, I propose this to all of our listeners and our fans. You know, I'm noticing that Alaska doesn't do a lot of walk-run charity events, and I'm proposing that we put on our very own furry-scurry-style event there in Alaska to benefit the local shelters, including the firefighters and the volunteers that are up there in the wilderness. Because as I understand, there is a big hoopty about the fact that volunteer firefighters aren't being taken care of, and what better way for a bunch of dog owners, mushers, and dog trainers to really show pride in their surroundings and the ability to give back to the community.
And that's true. Just a couple of weeks ago here in Willow, they had a dog jog, which was pretty popular. I don't know exactly how many people took part in it. I was attending a symposium for the Willow Dog Mushers Association, but I do know that it was very well attended, and even in a small town of just about 2,000 to 2,500 people, people still drove up well over an hour from Anchorage to take part in this event.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. I really would like to see a little, you know, I know that the community is tight and everybody knows the neighbor and things like that. I'm just hoping to participate in it because here in Denver, nobody cares to talk to the neighbors. In fact, nobody even looks at each other. So I'm already missing home, and I was only there for 10 days.
Well, you will be back in November. You're spending Thanksgiving up here, and you're even going to assist me in my first sprint race. I'm going to be racing a sprint race in late November, Thanksgiving weekend, and I look very forward to that. And with that, that's the reason I'm here. I'm here to run sled dogs. And for the past, I don't know, month or so, that's what I've been doing. And I tell you what, I'm truly getting an education in Alaskan mushing, and I'm having a blast. And I tell you what, the Iditarod is closing down. I only have 2 years to train for that, and I hope to my best that I will be ready to go.
I think you'll be ready to go. So if I'm coming out there in November for Thanksgiving and I've got to go help you with a race and freeze my tail end off, I hope you realize I do not have any appropriate clothing for Alaska, so I will be going shopping prior to my trip.
That's okay. There's plenty of shopping malls here, and everybody sells the warm clothing. But let's talk a little bit about mushing. I know that we've talked a lot about on this show today about the dogs being bred for what they are intended to do. And in the last couple of weeks or so, I've been primarily focusing on running Alaskan Huskies. And if anybody knows anything about mushing, Alaskan Huskies are the dogs that are winning the sport. And I've been a purebred musher for a long time, and this is really my first foray into mushing Alaskans. And like Michelle said about the pit bull, there are dogs that are bred for particular tasks, and I will tell you what, these guys do nothing but pull and eat. They are 100%, 150% motivated to pull down the road, and I tell you, it's a lot different than a Siberian Husky.
Well, that's okay. Siberians have almost been, as far as bloodlines go and what they're originally bred for, they've almost had it bred out of them. And, you know, I'm looking forward to working with J.P. Norris and his wife, Kari, and rebuilding a bloodline that's almost a dying art. I'm really looking forward to helping you guys out with that. As you know, that's what I did before when we had sled dogs, as I was the breeder. I took care of the puppies. I made sure they were doing what they were supposed to do in their training and ready to hit the sled at the right time. And that's what I'm looking forward to being able to do when I come home.
Well, it does look like we're on the track to do that. But as we think about this, as we get closer to qualifying for the Iditarod, it does not look like we're going to be running Siberians in our first attempt.
Well, whatever you say is best, but I know your passion still lies with the Siberians, and if that means your first Iditarod isn't done with Siberians, I know your second one will be.
It will be, and that will be the first team of Team Aneke puppies, I hope. They should be juveniles by then.
Right, and I don't mind if we, you know, and our readers, they know how you and I talk, so I'm not worried about this at all, but I don't mind if we even mix it up a bit with some of your Alaskans that you're using and some of the Team Aneke puppies and go from there, because it's going to take us 3 to 5 years to truly build the Team Aneke line as well as continuing the Norris line, and that's the goal. The goal is to continue the line, make them better. Bring them back to what they were in the Lombard days. You know, that's what it's about. Correct.
And that is our hope. We do want to bring back the Siberian to what it was intended to do. I know a lot of people do mush with Siberians, and they do very well. But most of the people, unfortunately, still have a little bit of a show bug involved in their lines, meaning they want to still compete in the show and do things like that. And I don't fault them at all for doing that. I did that years ago.
You got that bug off your back already, and I'm not interested in doing show dogs. You know that.
That's what I was going to say. There is enough politics in show dogs to run Obama out of office, and I tell you what, I'm not interested in being involved in that at all.
Besides, we raise and breed German Shepherds. We can take them to the show ring if we want to, and by no means will it be you and I. It can be our daughter, Nicole the Dog Doctor Jr. She can have her turn in the show ring if she wants.
There you go. So, you know, with that, this whole adventure up here in Alaska, I've been writing a daily blog, and it's called The Future Home of Iditarod Dreams, and it's about all of my misadventures and exploits of what I am learning as I go. And I tell you what, it has been a learning process since August 4th, the day I got off the plane. What do you think about that blog, Michelle?
You know, that blog is the reason why I'm not writing my blog.
And why is that?
I just cannot compete with your writing skills. And I was a kick-butt writer in high school and college, and you just blow me out of the water. So it's one of those things where you and I are so competitive that I read your blogs and I go, huh. And there's just no way. I don't have the time to put it together. And you were writing these in anywhere sometimes from 3 to 5 minutes flat. And you know that I'm your editor and I pick out your typos, but typically you're posting these without even rereading it, and they're great. You've only got a couple of typos, and it's nothing, not a big deal. And then I turn around and I try to write something, and mine needs to be of substance because it has to do with the service dogs, and it's just killing me. So, I don't know. Maybe you should back off of the blog for a little while because you've got too many fans.
Well, you know, what I'm finding very interesting is first and foremost, the numbers are off the charts. We're getting anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 readers per day. Some of the popular blogs, one of them was about our daughter just a couple of days ago, and when we got our new puppy Reagan, and of course some of the adventures at the very beginning when we were just starting to work on the house. But I tell you what, it's funny because I'll run into people that I don't know very well, and they will mention things that I've written about in my blog. In particular, a person that's becoming a very fast friend, he was our realtor. His name is Dave. He reads our blog every day, and as a matter of fact, he commented on it today. But he sees me all the time, and he'll say, how is this going, and how's that going, relating it to one of the articles that I posted.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really awesome. People really are attached to the blog. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever shared this, but I think you did in the very first blog. The Julia movie sparked this idea in your head. A chick flick sparked this idea in your head. You said that was one of the best marketing business movies you've ever seen, and it was essentially a chick flick. So, you know, I think that you've taken it and gone to the next level. I know you're going to turn this blog into a book. I think people will have a lot of fun reading it. And, you know, you just need to keep going at it. And I'll just have to suck it up and realize that my blog writing sucks and move on.
Well, that's okay. And, you know, something else that I'm doing this year on my blog that I haven't done last year, and I know this is a dog training show, and that's what people are listening to, but you know what? I am a huge horror fan. And as you guys know, if you've listened for any period of time here on the Dog Doctor Radio Show, you know that we do the 31 Days of Horror. And this year what I've done is I am doing a little review of every movie that we watch, that I watch every night, and that seems to be taking off just as fast as the Future Home of Iditarod Dreams blog.
You know, it is, and everybody needs to understand, this is about dogs. Our kennel name for my German Shepherds is Dracul von Helsing. So, you know, they have to understand if they can't handle horror movies, then they can't handle our humor, because you really don't get freaked out by horror movies, and neither does our daughter. You guys truly enjoy it for the artwork, well, some of them don't have plots, and then some of them do. But for the most part, you guys really get into it for the genre itself. The old-time movies are much more entertaining to you than the new ones.
And this year, I seem to be watching more, at least on the schedule, is more and more of the old-time talkies, as they call them. Talkies is the first generation of movies. Way back, think of Dracula, Frankenstein, that sort of stuff back in the 30s. And on the schedule this year, there are several movies that were made back in that era in their early 30s. Just a couple of nights ago, I watched a movie called White Zombie. Of course, anybody that knows anything about Rob Zombie, that's where he got the name of his band from. And it's an old, hardcore zombie flick from back in 1932, and that is one of my favorites. Another favorite is Nosferatu. I watched that just the other night. That was made in 1922. So we're not talking about the slash-em-up horror flicks of Jason and that sort of thing. We're talking about the genre itself, and in particular, the black and white monster movies.
That's right. And, you know, as you were talking about that, I just had a great idea for one of those mushing events that you shared with me the other day with the taco dinner. And I said, no, if we did that, it would be spaghetti dinner. Well, I'm thinking that we should just do a Halloween banquet benefit and make everybody come in a circa 1922 style Halloween movie outfit.
That would be awesome.
So there you go. It's on the radio show, so you can listen to that and really come up with a good idea.
And we would love to have your guys' comments. You can send them to us on email at live@dogdoctorradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Just search Denver Dog Works in the search engine. And if you like what you hear, make sure you hit that favorite button or the follow button right there on Blog Talk Radio. And we are even on iTunes. So we're all over the place, folks. And I am so glad to have our co-host back. And I hope that we can continue this on as we have for almost 2 years now. We have built up quite a following on the Dog Doctor Radio Show and our brand new sister show, Must You Huskies. We have a lot of plans for that in the future, and I hope that people will just click on that next little tab down and listen to Must You Huskies as well. Michelle, we have just a couple of minutes left. What do you want to close with?
I want to close with be safe out there. Give your local dog trainer a call. Business is slow, and we could all use a hand up or two in this industry. Always understand that if you have a dog, the dog is just as important as your children. It should come in that order, children and dogs. Get out there and do something with your dog and let us know what you'd like to see us do with Alaska Dog Works, because it's in the building stages, and I'm not looking forward to making it a mirror image of Denver Dog Works. I'm looking forward to having it be something unique on its own.
And you can reach Denver Dog Works at area code 303-578-9881. And you can reach me up here in Alaska at 907-495-9109. 907-495-9109. Next week we will have Michelle back on the air. We'll have a topic posted on the Blog Talk site in just a few days. So we welcome those comments. So until next time, this is Robert Forto. Never forget your dreams. We'll see you next week. Goodbye. Mm-hmm.